Listening Library presents Naja Skylung and the Cloud Ship Rescue by Jeff Seymour. Read for you by Hannah J. Chapter 1, in which we meet our heroine and a storm approaches. Naja. Outside the cabin doorway, a distant rumble calls. Naja. Outside the cabin doorway, a distant rumble mumbles. Naja! There's a loud crack and the rumble of thunder, and my whole cabin on the cloud ship Orion jumps up a few inches and falls back down. I snag my journal and pen before they can slide off my desk and look out the window again, where the yellow gold light of afternoon is fading into gray, stormy shadows. Darn it, I mutter. Tamban, my greatest nemesis on the ship and as goody-goody a kid as you've ever met, shouts at me through the door. Naja, Captain Nick wants you, and he'll give you stripes this time if you're not out here in 10 seconds. I push back from my writing desk and snort. Nick never hits us. Our first mate, Tall Tom, wants him to sometimes, but Nick's too nice for that. All the same, I open the desk drawer where I keep important stuff and toss my journal into it. I can hear the rumble of thunder, after all, and we're halfway across the cloud sea, 6 days from the dusty adobe houses, giant walls, and leafy streets of Vashibandi in the west, and 5 days till the ironwork cranes, crooked skyscrapers, zip lines, and grungy alleys of Faragandi in the east. Out here, the storms are big and mean and fast. So if Nick wants me, and there's thunder outside, something exciting's probably about to happen. My name's Naja Skylung, and I keep the Orion afloat. I don't do it all by myself, of course, not yet. Mrs. Trachea's still teaching me, but I'll have it figured out soon. I have to. Tall Tom's leaving the ship when we make port in Faragandi next week, and Nick's going to pick one of the kids on the Orion to do his job. I'm gonna make sure it's me. And learn how to run a cloud ship, and then someday I'll be captain of my own ship, and I'll fly anywhere I want, anytime I want to. Naja, the greatest Skylung of them all. I'm halfway through closing my desk drawer when the ship gives another huge lurch, and there's an ominous creaking from the deck outside. Tam pounds on my door again. I flinch and jump up. I'm coming, I shout. I open the door and glare at Tam. A mop of iron-black hair sits on his head like a grumpy octopus, and he's got on the same black overalls and white shirt he always wears. He thinks his clothes show off his permanently tanned skin and the muscles underneath it. I think they show off how dumb he is. Tam's 6 months younger than me, but he's also 6 inches taller, 6 ways wiser, and 6 times as quick. Or so he tells me anyway. He's a stick in the mud about rules and safety and doesn't trust anything he can't take apart with a screwdriver. I know the world's not as scary as he thinks, and that rules were made for reasons, and the reasons matter more than the rules. We butt heads over it all the time. Everybody thinks Nick'll pick him or me as first mate when Tom leaves the ship, but I know it'll be me. Above Tam, the big dark egg of the cloud balloon where I do most of my work twists and creaks at the end of long cables secured to the deck. The storm's not far off now, and it's getting closer. The wind's picking up. Get your safety belt on, Tam says. Nick wanted you 10 minutes ago. What are you doing in there? I roll my eyes. It didn't look like the storm was that close. I was just going to finish my page. None of your business, I say. I like to journal because it reminds me of my mom. I've got a page from one of her old diaries tucked away in my desk, and I try to write like she did. Tam snorts, but right then a huge gust of wind hits the Orion. The whole ship rises up by a couple of feet and slams back down. My stomach jumps into my throat. I just about float off the deck. Behind me, I hear the thunk of something heavy falling out of my desk. The wind pushes down on the aft of the Orion and up on its bow, so the deck slants and I have to brace myself to keep from slipping aftward toward Nick's cabin and the stairway at the other end of the ship. A black and silver flash rolls by my feet through the open door, and my heart tries to swan dive out of my chest. I don't remember much about my parents, see? That's why my last name's Skylung, after the way I can breathe the special air in cloud balloons, instead of after their last name. Mrs. T and Nick found me in a crashed ship in the desert outside Vashabandi when I was 3. Tam says my parents must be dead since nobody's ever seen them, but I don't believe him. I remember my dad standing at the wheel of a cloud ship in a sandstorm, shouting directions to the crew. I remember my mom letting me run my fingers over fancy etching on a silver safe and telling me how special it was. I think they're still out there, doing something amazing, and I just have to find them. So I take extra special care of the knickknacks I have left from when Nick and Mrs. T found me. The most important of all those things is a round, tarnished, silver doorknob that I remember my mom pressing into my hands and telling me to keep safe. The same one that just rolled past my feet and is heading for the deck rails, the open sky, and the ocean below. I elbow Tam out of the way and run after it. There's another crack of lightning off the port bow. A gust of wind hits the Orion and pushes the doorknob starboard. It skitters toward the rail, where there are little gaps called scuppers that let the rain drain off during big storms. The scuppers are more than big enough for my doorknob to fit through. "Nadja!" Tam shouts, but I ignore him. I've almost caught up to the doorknob when the wind gusts again, and the knob slips through my fingers and rolls farther toward the rail. The Orion levels out, and then her port side lifts, sending everything on deck tumbling starboard again. I get a glimpse into the ocean through one of the scuppers, and the doorknob rolls right toward it. I'm still a couple of feet away. I hold my breath, dive, stretch out my fingers, and close my eyes. I nab the doorknob just as it's sailing into the air. Half a second later, my shoulder slams into the railing hard enough to rattle my teeth, but I don't lose my grip. I snatch the doorknob back up through the hole, open my eyes, and brush my fingers over it. No damage. Gosh, and be good. It's the same dusty silver, blackened in some spots with tarnish I can't get off no matter how hard I polish. It's about as big as an undersized orange, with a huge, beautiful tree winding its limbs upward on the front like it's praying, and a strange little rod with lots of slots in it coming out the back. I sniff it real quick, just to make sure the smell of home's still there. It is. A spicy, musty aroma that makes my tongue tingle. "Dang it, Nadja!" Tam shouts. He shuts the door to my cabin and stomps toward me. The wind calms down, and the Orion stops pitching around so much. I take a deep breath and tuck the doorknob into my pocket, where it'll be safe. Tam grabs me by the wrist when he gets to me and dumps my safety belt, which he must have nabbed from my cabin, into my lap. "That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen you do," he says. "What if you fell?" I jerk my wrist free and stick my tongue out at him. "I was fine," I say. Tam rolls his eyes and nods toward my pocket. "Why do you keep that thing anyway? It's just a useless piece of junk." I stand up and toss the safety belt at him. "You're a useless piece of junk, Tam." It's not my best work, as insults go, but I'm a little distracted by the storm coming on and the fact I almost lost the thing that's most important to me in the whole world. So I turn my back on Tam, brush myself off, and head toward Nick's cabin. My cabin nestles up against the Orion's bow. In order to get to Captain Nick's from it, you've got to cross the whole wooden length of the ship's deck. You go past the stairs that lead down to the iron room, where the engines that drive our huge metal propellers are. You go past the ladder that shoots up to the metal catwalks and rigging around the cloud balloon, and then you go under the aft deck, where Tall Tom stands like a scarecrow at the ship's wheel. I suppose I should explain about the catwalks, since I practically live up there. Around the balloon, there's a big spider web of metal walkways, and inside that's the garden that makes the lighter-than-air gas that keeps us afloat. It's my favorite place on the ship, all bright and steamy and beautiful, and only me and Mrs. T can go in there. "Nadja," I hear from the aft deck. Tall Tom has his eyes, bright brown and shining as a Glimmer Street dollar, on me, and I hunch my shoulders a little. Tom knows more about how a cloud ship's designed and run than anyone I've ever met, and he never cuts me any slack when I do something wrong.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?